Okay, so how do we control our impulsive behavior? Basically, at the first level, we just have to start with externals. The externals are not enough, but the externals are often essential in the beginning. Krishna, when he talks about controlling selfish desire, controlling lust, he says, Tasmatvam indriyanyado. Begin with the senses. So, you know, for example, if I decided that I'm not going to overeat, or I'm not going to eat fatty foods. So, if I get a snack attack, a sudden desire to eat a snack. Snack attack. So when I get a snack attack, now if I have some healthy food, maybe some fruit, some vegetable that's there in my, I'm working, there's my drawer, I have that. I also have a fatty snack. If I'm conscious, I will eat that healthy snack. I resolve to eat that healthy snack. But if I'm talking on phone, I'm reading something, I'm typing something, suddenly the snack attack comes. My hand will automatically go to the fatty snack. I'll eat it, and after some time, hey, I was not supposed to eat it. What happened? So what happens is that when we have acted on the impulses repeatedly, then those impulses, they just trigger us towards actions without even our understanding it. So there are some actions which just happen subconsciously. So there is so now when those actions are happening subconsciously, then to check them becomes very difficult. That's why it's best to create an obstacle external. That means, you know, don't keep that fatty snack nearby. Don't keep that in the home. So usually when that impulse comes, the force of the impulse doesn't last for a very long time. But while it is there, it seems irresistible. So when the impulse comes and I desire to eat something, if that food is immediately available, I just grab it and eat it, I won't even realize it. But if that food is not available, and I have to go somewhere and get it, then what happens? During that time, the impulse is suddenly spiked up and it's very strong. But as the time passes, the impulse intensity also goes down. I intellect is awake and say, I don't want to do this. I don't really want to do this. So that way, if we can make whatever is our impulsive behavior, we can make that not so easily available for ourselves. Create some external obstacle within us and that impulse, that helps. It is not an ultimate solution. It is just an initial solution. But an initial solution itself, as they say, out of sight is out of mind. So it's one way of doing it. Of course, if we dwell on the impulse, if we meditate on that impulsive desire, then we'll go wherever we get that object and we'll get it. That's possible always. But much of the battle can be avoided by just not having that object available. As much as possible. It is said that the best time to win the war against temptation is before it begins. You know, before the desire starts growing, just stop it. It's not available only. No, get out. But now that is not always possible. So then, we can, second thing as I said, association. Association means, you know, we could have some friends with whom we make some resolutions. You know, we decide this is what I'm going to do, and then we share. This is what I plan. I plan to wake up in the morning, but I'm not able to wake up. I just feel like sleeping so much. Then we have some friends with whom we share. This is what I did. This is what I did not do. And then that is called as not just a general friend, but it's more like we want to be accountable to someone. It's an accountability partner. If I decide I want to read, you know, I want to study scripture, but I'm not able to do it. Make a plan with some other dude, not just ourselves. And then that can also help a lot. A third thing is that when the impulse comes, unavailability is not the solution. It is an initial step. What we need is some intelligence. Oh, this is not what I want to do. So now at that time when the impulse comes, the intelligence doesn't work. It's like It's when the impulse comes, it is the impulse comes and presses the delete button of our intelligence. You know? All that we have learned, just forget at that time. So at that time, you know, if you know that some person is very forgetful, there are some people who just forget things, and we tell them, you know, when you are coming there, please get it. And then they don't get it. You say, oh, why didn't you get it? I forgot. Well, you know, now we may blame them. Why did you forget? Because if we understand after a period of time that they are forgetful people, then what we have to do is, rather than expecting them to do it, we have to take the initiative. Maybe remind them 2-3 times. Maybe write it down somewhere so they remember it. And then make sure. So if they are forgetful, then reminding them is our responsibility. Just telling them is not. So like that, we find out sometimes that, you know, with respect to certain impulses, we become forgetful. Then we have to create reminders for ourselves. Reminders means, so if a particular impulse is overpowering us, then if we have heard some philosophical points, if we have done some analysis ourselves, intellectual analysis, heard some verses, heard some quotes about why this particular impulse is bad, why I need to give it up, then we keep that readily available for us. Write it down. Keep it readily available in your phone or in a diary or somewhere, so that at that time, when our intelligence doesn't work, we borrow intelligence from there. And we use that intelligence at that time. And it does help. So this is beyond that. We need to pray to Krishna. At that time, we may not feel like praying. But if we look at our impulses, you know, we often find that there are certain circumstances which trigger them. So for example, if I'm going on a road and there's a pothole. Now, if my car goes in the pothole, there's a bump over there. So the jolt I feel. So what we do is, we anticipate, okay, this pothole going to come over here. So we plan and we take our car from a different direction. Slightly steer it away. Seriously. So if we look back and find out what are the situations in which we face impulses. And then before that, we pray to Krishna. Before that happens, we sincerely pray to Krishna. And then even if that doesn't help us at that time, somehow then still we get overpowered. But the fact that we are praying to Krishna at that time will please Krishna. And the likelihood of our remembering will increase. So we don't, and as I conclude, the last point is that we don't have to define our bhakti by our capacity to resist impulses. Sometimes you go, oh, I made this resolution, I didn't do it. I again relapse. I'm good for nothing, I'm useless. No, the impulses may come, the impulses may make us do something which we didn't want to do. But that is just one part of life. Yeah. What are we doing? The impulses are not there 24 hours a day. The impulses come as a spike and they stay for some time, they go away. What we are doing in between the impulses is much more important. If at that time also, if we either we are lamenting, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Or we are looking forward, craving, you know, next time I'll do this, next time I'll do it. Then we are not Krishna conscious at all. We are simply mind conscious. The mind impels us to do something and the mind beats us up. Why are you doing this? So, okay, whatever has happened, it's happened. In between, so that during the time of impulse, I'm unable to connect with Krishna. I end up doing something which I don't want to do. But in between the impulses, what am I doing? If I am wholeheartedly connecting with Krishna, doing things enthusiastically, that itself will purify me. Sometimes the impulse may be so strong that despite everything else, you know, despite distancing ourselves from the objects, despite having an accountability partner, despite having a source of borrowed intelligence, despite praying, still we may relapse. But it doesn't matter. What matters is, what are we doing in between? Doesn't matter means not that it doesn't define us as much as what we do in between. If in between the impulses we are connecting with Krishna, we'll become purified and gradually the impulses will become more manageable. You know, we shouldn't make the battle against temptation more important than the war for devotion. The war for devotion is we are trying to connect with Krishna, doing many things for that. And the battle against temptation is one part of that. Sometimes because we are defeated in the battle against temptation, we become so discouraged that we stop fighting the war for devotion. Okay, something I did which I was not meant to do. But still I can chant now. I can read now. I can do so many things now. Now that the impulse is tormenting me. So even if we are defeated in the battle against temptation, doesn't matter. Let me fight the war for devotion as much as I can. We should never be frustrated devotees of renunciation. Okay, I couldn't do that and I'm frustrated. No, we always meant to be hopeful devotees of Krishna. Okay, I couldn't do this, doesn't matter. Next time I'll try. But in between, now let me connect with Krishna. Okay? Thank you. Any other questions?